It's Friday, December 19th, 2014, and welcome to episode 172 of Tech Talk for Teachers. I'm Tom Grissom.
I'm Cindy Rich.
I'm Mike Joya.
Welcome to Tech Talk for Teachers, the show about teaching and learning with technology, and welcome to the holiday edition. So this time we're going to have an abbreviated little holiday list, some little tech gifts and things that we're considering coming up. And then let's see, what else? Mike, I think you've recently traveled internationally.
Yes. Yeah.
So I think you have a tech pick.
Yeah, that was really useful on my trip to overseas.
So we'll share that in a bit. And then Cindy, I think you've got some...
something on my shopping list that I've been looking for and going to get a little bit of input from the professionals here I'm sharing this room with.
We'll begin today by talking about the security spotlight, and Mike will have some things to share, as well as some things you need to consider as we approach the holiday break and some things that you might want to do as far as backups and turning off your equipment. So we'll do that and then wrap it up with our tech picks. So here we go. Up first today, we have our security spotlight, and I've got Mike here, fresh from his international travels, so we'll talk a little bit more about that in our upcoming Tech Pick segment, but thought we'd take just a few moments here just to kind of mention, even though it is the holiday season, there's a lot in the news, and particularly, yeah, unless you've been hiding under a rock, you've probably heard of the Sony hack that has recently happened.
We should have a current events section.
Yeah, I mean, kind of. It's mainly all these security stuff is what happens in the current events, if you're talking tech. But yeah, this is kind of an annual process now with Sony. Last year it was PlayStation Network I hacked, and now...
And this one seems very, very serious, though.
Yeah, this one was pretty bad, and it made Sony look very bad as well, because, they got into corporate-level servers, and the data they pilfered was employees' information, which, when you think about it, you're like, okay, you know, who cares? But this is Sony, the movie industry area section.
Yeah, so they, in Hollywood.
Yes, so employees turn out to be actors and actresses.
Right.
And scripts and executives and private emails.
High profile.
I think the worst part that, as a security professional, makes me shake my head is that they had folders of files of people's passwords, and they named it passwords.
Yep.
So, you know, kind of a glaring red light that says, come here and take this, please.
Yeah.
So
certainly I suspect all of those folks have changed their passwords recently.
Well, I don't know.
One would hope.
What's the point now?
Well, probably because...
From this point forward.
If you want my professional security opinion, is because probably that password is the same on like six different accounts outside of Sony.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
There's that as well. Scripts. I mean, they found so much stuff. And then now I've been watching Twitter, and the trend is that Sony's trying to do damage control, and they're sending cease and desist orders and stuff to media.
Right.
Journalists. Yeah. Brian Krebs is one of our main security. They sent him like a cease and desist and delete order of the data he was putting out talking about this, and now it's public knowledge. So
yeah,
pretty interesting.
These things, as we talk month after month after month, they continue to happen. The other big thing, since this is the holiday season, and I think the awareness level needs to go up dramatically with all of the malware issues and things. There's a lot of scams and malware and ransomware in particular regarding like UPS tracking packages. You'll get you'll get this phishing attempt out there,
right,
targeting the, you know, an email. It's like, click here, you just received a package from UPS, and that's kind of a classic one, you know, or whatever moving service, you know, it might happen to be, but they're just sending these out, you know, I suppose by the millions, just trying to get 1%.
And you know, probably the best way to do that, and it's just like kind of some common phishing techniques to prevent it, is if you get an email from UPS saying, here's one, they never really send you attachments, they send you tracking numbers. But two is, a lot of the companies now you're dealing with, especially online, you can go back into the website, put in your order number, and it'll give you the tracking status in their website. So you're right. In the authenticated with the authentic website, as opposed to going through a link in your email.
Yeah, the right. links are really maybe, suspicious this time of year.
Yeah, maybe ending up at UPS.
And, maybe. You know, again, just some common sense. If you're not expecting something, you know, it's like the yellow flag should go up immediately, or red flag. And
yeah, I would say that, but I've ordered so much stuff online, I forgot.
I'm the same way.
Ordered.
And that's yep. what they're counting on.
Yeah.
So, like I said, if they just have 1% successful, they're going to continue to do it. So,
yeah.
Like we say, just be careful out there and use some common sense and hover over a link to see where it takes
right.
you. But
right.
The level of trust, unfortunately, even though the holiday season, it's just, I guess my senses are a little heightened now.
Yes. And, you know, the other thing I point out with the holiday season as well is if you get tech gifts, if you get a new laptop or a new device, remember that device may have been sitting on the shelves for months. Before
yes.
you got it.
Yes.
So when you get it, before you start going out and doing all the fun things that this device can do, is make sure it's updated, security, like the OS has been patched and updated, and your antivirus, you
yeah.
actually have an antivirus if it's like a laptop
right.
Or device, and make sure if it already has one that that's been updated as well, because again, it's been sitting in, it could
right.
have been sitting on the shelf for 6 months. You don't know.
Easily, because just think the logistics of this. If you're, you know, a device manufacturer making these things by the millions,
right.
no matter how big a factory, it takes a while to ramp up
right.
For all of that. And, you know, as you say, I mean, electronics are obviously being improved, you know, almost monthly with a lot of the software updates or firmware.
Right.
Updates depending upon what type of device it is, so or software for that matter, same thing.
Yeah, if you're even just updating your OS, if you're going from like Windows 7 to Windows,
and that's not very fun on yeah. On.
But if you got that disk, I mean, like if we get it from our bookstore at the disk employee discount, you know, you're getting actually Windows 8. You're not even getting 8.1.
Right.
So you have to install it, and then you need
update.
To immediately update it mm-hmm. because Windows 8.
And that's a lengthy process going from 8 right. to 8.1. So like I said, it's not too much fun on Christmas morning. It kind of reminds me, you know, when kids were little, buying them bicycle or something in a box, then you had to put it together
yes.
that morning. Yep. Kind of that delayed gratification. It's like, then Dad finally got smart, and it's like, we'll just build this the week
that's
before
right.
and stick it underneath the tree. So.
And then there's Legos. When those came out, then it was, oh, well, this is to keep the kids distracted all morning while we get ready, you know,
yeah.
for the meal.
Yeah. So, okay. So, like I said, continue to be vigilant out there. Be careful. And I guess the other thing, we just kind of mentioned a little bit, over the holiday breaks, especially in schools, in education, many places are shut down for a week, two,
mm-hmm.
sometimes 3 weeks, even though there are still staff around working. But those are also periods, maintenance windows for updates and things. And in fact, we're going to be undergoing a very major network backbone update over the holidays. So, you know, make sure you have good backups and everything. And I also recommend, you know, particularly personal computers and things, to turn those off. Some people don't turn them off, you know, daily. I generally shut mine down and it's off. But particularly over an extended break, power it down, because like I said, there's a lot of maintenance, and you know, and just from prior years' experience, they're working on electrical systems. You know, they might be changing out a transformer. You know, trying to do something as least disruptive as possible. But if you have your computer on and they pull the power,
yeah.
and it goes
hard
down shot. Hard, there is a chance that you know that electronic device might not come back up. So then you're only as good as that last backup.
And then you turn it back on, and you get these weird messages, and you're like, "What the heck?"
Was yeah.
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 What has happened?
So, you know, as I say, continue to be vigilant and be careful. Okay, thought we'd begin our tech pick segment this time, since it's the holiday season, to kind of pick out, I guess I will say, more affordable. Depends on the definition of affordable, I guess. But one of the things that's kind of on my little wish list, I have, with my Surface Pro, I have an Arc mouse, which is just an external mouse to use with the Surface Pro.
Mm-hmm.
And it uses radio frequency, so that requires me to plug in a little RF receiver into my only USB port on the Surface Pro, which I do. the trackpad on the Surface Pro keyboard is not very good in my opinion. So I do like to use the use an external mouse, but I don't like having that USB port tied up, you know, with a little transceiver. So I do like this Arc mouse because it's a mouse that you can fold flat and it shuts off, so it preserves the battery, and it just fits very nicely in, you know, like a little sleeve and things. Doesn't take up much space at all. But now they have the new version, which is a Bluetooth capable Arc mouse, so it's around $50, and it would allow me to use that in combination with the Surface Pro and not take up that USB port. So that's kind of one of my tech picks. And then just kind of an update from a tech pick from a couple of months ago. I think I mentioned the Sway, which was like a beta program. It's a kind of a new way to present material. But that was by invite only, and it's now been opened up to the public. So if you didn't get an invite, or if you're interested in kind of a new way to make some what we call responsive design presentations, you can design it once and it looks just as nice on, you know, like a 60-inch TV or, you know, 90-inch mm-hmm. smart board or your small mobile phone screen. It kind of on the fly will reformat it and just makes a nice little presentation. So that's available, and I'll put links to both of those picks in the show notes.
Very cool. Okay, well, one of the things I've been didn't have a whole lot of tech items on our shopping list this year for whatever reason. But one of the things I've been looking at, and I've been really surprised by all the different ones available and the huge price range in these, is the wireless headphones. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they from one end to the other of the price range and that. But whether it's the earbuds or the full ear cover headphones,
over the ear,
right, and that.
Like on your wish list?
No, actually, it was for one of my sons who's a musician.
Oh,
and so he likes the full
over ear. Yeah, and the fidelity is going to be critical for him,
yes,
because I'm sure he has a very perceptible hearing.
Yes, and that, and so, but it was really interesting, but it is cool. I mean, they're really neat, the different ones that are available, and how you don't have that, you're not tethered
right
anymore. And my Jeep doesn't have sync or anything in it. So I had to get the Bluetooth for, you know, that. And I actually got the one that's, it's the earbuds, but then it's got like the neck band thing for the microphone. It's like a little hard headband thing, but the mics are right here on the side. Well, you can't see.
for like your mobile phone too, but, or?
Yeah, that goes to mm-hmm. it's my phone, and then it has mm-hmm. things on it, and then the earbuds and that. And so I've gotten used to using that too.
Mm-hmm.
And, it is nice having the wireless capability.
Right. Yeah.
I've over the years have tried several different Bluetooth going, you know, way back 5 years or whatever. And my experience in the early days, they were not up to what I would call my standards as far as right. listening and things. Now I'm sure they've gotten a lot better. And and I had this on a wish list too, is that there's a set called Jaybird Blue Buds, uh-huh. and just looking it up here, they're around $150. But Mike, I think you said that, you know, you had some experience with those.
Yeah, I own a pair of those. I don't really own them. My partner owns them. They were a gift to her, and she really didn't utilize them at all that much. In fact, I don't know. We maybe.
Did
I'll
she,
talk
did she
to her
say
maybe
anything?
We'll sell them to you. I don't know.
Got a deal here.
But we also, with the Jaybirds, we also got the more of the not in-ear, but over-ear band that has a big band as well. And she still didn't utilize those very well.
Did she say anything about the quality?
The quality seemed really good. I think the problem was we were having trouble pairing it with our computer. But, of course, the computer was a desktop that was an add-on Bluetooth option.
Well, see, that's a big deal.
But she had probably the original. The whole reason we went with Jaybird is she had the original Bluetooth ones for those and absolutely loved them, but they didn't charge anymore. But those were from like you said five.
Right. Well, we were just talking about doing the software updates and things because these things sit on the shelf.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, you know, with some of the standards, the chipsets and things are built in, so you can't upgrade hardware the chipset itself.
Right.
But difference between Bluetooth 3.0 and 4.0 is like night and day. Just like that Arc mouse, if you happen to have an older computer, That Arc mouse supports Bluetooth 4.0, but mm-hmm. say you have an older computer that has Bluetooth 3.0, that device, you know, would not work. It's not backward compatible. Kind of, you know, my old saying about, you know, you can watch black and white TV on a color TV, but you can't watch color on a black and white. It's kind of that evolution of technology out there. So, I mean, you got to do your homework a little bit. And then your Jeep, does it have an aux port?
Yes.
On my car, I just use the aux port. And of course, you know, if you're riding with passengers and stuff, everybody's hearing the same things, which might be good, might not be good.
Must be nice. I mean, I don't have any of that.
You don't have that?
Well, I have old vehicles.
So, yeah.
One's 10 years old.
Well, my truck, I still 13. Have my my truck still has a cassette tape in it.
Yeah,
there
you go. Yep. Well, the Jeep, I have a soft top, so it's loud. So I like the earbuds because I can actually hear with
And then I've seen on TV commercials and things, I think it's Bose, but they're those noise canceling, but I don't know if those were wireless or not.
The wireless ones work pretty well. I thought for noise canceling, and, mm-hmm. and of course it's Bose, so it sounds really.
Yeah, and the price is up there too.
Yeah, the price is really, really good as well on top of the sound. But the Bose has some wired ones that I found. I have the in-ear wired ones, mm-hmm. and with the Comfort Soft earpieces, which the Jaybirds have a similar one where it kind of clips on the inside of your ear and it rests in your canal. It doesn't actually stick in there and fill it like foam. Foam here, and I use those to work out and everything, and those are a lot better than the other in-ear.
Right.
I can't use like Apple's earbuds mm-hmm. because I have cauliflower ear from wrestling, so my ear canals are all disfigured, and, so they don't fit. They just don't fit. So those are really good. And then Bose also has these kind of sporty the over-ear ones that mm-hmm. they don't really cup over the ears. They just kind of rest on it, and those sound really good, too. But again, they're all wired. But what I really like about those is they have the mic and the volume control integrated mm-hmm. into the wire for Apple, like Apple devices.
Right, yeah. So it's interesting watching the college students and things, kind of the fashions and things through the year and things, mm-hmm. because they're for a while having, you know, a big over-ear headset.
Uh-huh.
I think, but now with popularity of Beats and things, you know, you see them on campus
quite frequently. Yeah, they're coming back, absolutely.
Yeah.
But the other thing that trips me up is the microphones, too, because you have to get used to that. When I had tried a little Bluetooth that was just a little bitty one that clipped mm-hmm. on
you,
and I would yell because I thought it was so far from my mouth. So I was always screaming into it. Or the new one comes to right about here, and so I don't yell, and it's more natural.
Yeah.
Well, it's pretty interesting how well it is, because like the Apple one and the and like the Bose one I have, it sits down at your chest level.
Yeah.
But if you really think about it, like newscasters and all that stuff, they use all those microphones
down there.
Yeah.
True.
It works fine.
Yeah. Okay. So if you have any words of wisdom or examples out there that you really like, let us know. Just send an email to us or check us out. But it's always one that we're looking to find out what's going to work for other people. And as a podcaster here, obviously myself, with the voice and things, it does make a difference on the quality. And if you want to get really fancy, I mean, they actually sell kits where you can do like a little ear mold and things. I've seen those for the earbuds. And last time I checked, it was somewhat reasonable in price.
Yeah. I've
customized.
I've seen those, for like music and stuff.
Yeah. So, okay. So Mike, what do you have?
Well, mine's kind of, I thought was a really good idea, and it's more for travel wise, but I bought a power.
Being the international traveler that you are.
Yeah, there I am now. I actually bought a power pack from this, Mobi is kind of the one you can usually buy for your phones. Mm-hmm. I had one of those for a while.
A battery power pack.
Yeah, and I had one for my iPhone, and it made it just gigantic, and I didn't really like it. So instead I bought, this is an Anker, is the name of it, and it's a power pack. It's a 16,000 milliamp hour power pack, and it says it will charge an iPhone 5S and 6 9 times before it will run out of juice. And this was really, really nice for traveling, because if I was on the plane and I needed mm-hmm. to charge an iPad or something, mm-hmm. I just plug it into this thing. I don't have to worry about it. It has two USB ports on it. Just plug it in.
Yeah.
Now, don't have to worry about it.
Just quick question that just popped into my mind, since you know you recently traveled overseas and things, did you have an electrical adapter? Because the international electricity is a little different, or did that last you long enough?
I did have some adapters as well. The great thing with your most of your electronics, and you have to be careful, but like this battery pack, this operates on direct current, so mm-hmm. DC power. So you don't need to get a power converter there. You just need to get an adapter to change the prongs. Because if you read most of these on them, especially this one has it on here too, it will typically usually say, like if you look at your Apple chargers that plug into the wall, it'll say that it will accept 120 to 240 volts, and then it'll accept 50 hertz and 60 hertz.
Mm-hmm.
And the hertz is what you have to be careful of, because Britain operates at 50 hertz.
Right. You don't want to fry.
And we operate at 60 hertz. And that'll fry your electronic devices. Right. But see, if you look at your Surface Pro charger right there, it says the same thing. Because what those big boxes that you get is actually taking alternating current and turning it into DC current.
Right.
So for devices like that, especially USB powered ones, you just need to get the one that has the right prong configuration.
Right.
And I also, on top of this battery pack, I had two of these. These were strictly hard molded for Britain, because they have their own prong. They have their own prong standard compared to Europe and compared to us. It's probably one of the most unorganized thing in the world is electricity.
Well, there's driving on the other side of the road too.
Yeah.
So.
And I actually learned why they do that while I was over there. But this one had two USB ports on it. It had a 1 amp and a 2 amp, because like your iPads use 2 amps and your iPhones use 1 amp.
And you have to be careful, like with laptops, that would charge. Well, they won't charge a laptop. Well, it would be like I have a video camera and things over there. You do have to worry about the milliamps.
They're smaller ones. Yeah. Usually if you have what we call a three prong device that uses three prongs to plug in, that's typically, you have to be careful with those. But usually you can look at the little, like all your charging devices, like if you look at the Surface, it has this big pack where you plug in one cable on one side and then it goes the other. That's your converter from AC to DC.
Right.
So it'll tell you if it can accept 50 or 60 hertz, and that's really what you're looking for.
Yeah.
But like for your phone or tablet or GoPro or something like that, that's awesome.
Yeah, and then having the battery pack's great when you just don't have access to
an outlet. For like photographers or podcasters that are out in the field and things, it's like you never can find an outlet or something whenever you're running out of batteries.
And this is really cool too, because it has a little flashlight on it.
We'll put a link in the show notes. About how much did that cost?
This was actually, I thought, really reasonable. It was $45
on Amazon. Yeah, that's so worth it. Just the one time that you need it.
The Mobi like juice packs for your phones and stuff, those are like over $100.
Well, I like that because that's more versatile. That'll work with a variety.
Yeah, anything takes USB. So, it was very functional. And it didn't, at no point did it drain at all. While we were over there.
All right, nice. So we can't leave the listeners in suspense, so tell me, why do they drive on the other side of the road?
Okay, so when they first, it was part of the London Bridge, it was mass chaos when they used to walk across and all the carts and everything, horse carts and stuff. So the king issued a decree, that they would march, you would pass each other on the... on the way they drive now. So on the opposite side.
They drive on the left side of the
road. Right, left side. Because if there if you run into your enemy you're having a duel with, it gave you the ability to draw your sword in attack.
So it goes back to the knights or
1700s, they said. So more the Renaissance and the gentlemanly duels.
So why did we switch? Outside maybe our discrepancies we had, maybe
freedom from oppression. That's right. I mean,
out of spite.
Yeah. So I remember in grade school, it's like, I mean, we always walked on the right side. I mean, our teachers made a big deal. You walk. I don't know if that had anything to do with driving or not, but just the orderliness of not an entire class of kids coming at it. Of course, we weren't jousting or anything. We tried, but So, okay, that's interesting. So, all right, so learn all kinds of things on Tech Talk for Teachers.
That's right.
That wraps it up for episode 172 of Tech Talk for Teachers. Show notes for this episode and archived episodes are available on the web at the EIU Instructional Technology Center website at eiu.edu/ITC. To leave a comment or suggestion, please send an email to techtalk@eiu.edu or leave a comment on the Tech Talk for Teachers blog. Until next time, this is Tom Grissom.
I'm Cindy Rich.
I'm Mike Joya.
Keep on learning.